Conference record has joined the conference.
Jay?
Yeah.
All right, perfect. All right, so this is Michelle Meese with Grateful Web, and we are here with Jay Bratley from Dirtfoot. How are you doing, Jay?
Doing well.
Great. So you guys have Wakarusa coming up in a couple of weeks, and
mm-hmm.
you're going to be playing two shows, I believe, plus the Chomp Down.
Correct.
All right, so yeah. You guys, like, get tired ever?
Well, this year's actually going to be kind of a rest for us. I think a year or two ago we did five or six different things, and it was, you know, that was a rough one. By the end of the fest, we were all pretty beat. So, yeah, we're looking forward to this one, you know, two sets, and, of course, the Chomp Down. The Chomp's the, you know, it's a show, but it's really a shot in the arm. It's kind of a booster shot for us, and, you know, getting to be around all the friends and, you know, and just doing something good you know, enjoying the commune and, you know, it's a good time. It's not work at all. It's fun.
Yeah, the Chomp Down is awesome. You get to feed people who are probably starving delicious food. Do you guys ever get to cook or do you just play the whole time?
Well, occasionally we get to, we get to do some stuff on the tail end, but we're usually pretty lucky if we can get a plate at the, you know, when we're done. So it's every once in a while, somebody will go snag some eggs before they're all gone or whatever and bring us a little, you know, some eggs and bacon and whatnot to us as well. But, getting up there and playing the set, you know, like I said, it's always just such a great time, you know. There's usually Bloody Marys in the morning, too, and those kind of things, so it's always fun.
Bloody Marys in the morning is perfect. So, like, when you guys are playing at festivals like this, how does it affect your music versus playing in a bar or a venue or something like that?
Well, you know, we always try to do something a little different. You know, we always try to add some things. I mean, we've actually had come to a little evolution here in the last year with Matt won an electric guitar whenever we did the John Lennon songwriting thing, and so that's kind of dirtied up the sound. We also have a new drummer. Our old drummer retired, and been a long time on the road, and so we got in a new guy, and he is a little more of a rock influenced drummer, and it's really kind of given us a different sound. We played Old Settlers Fest in Austin recently, and some guy came up to us after the set and said that we reminded him of System of a Down meets Gogol Bordello. And,
wow!
I was like, cool. We haven't heard that one before, you know. So, our sound is definitely morphing, and we're kind of curious to see what everybody thinks about some of the new things we'll be doing.
Yeah, actually, I was at your show in Fayetteville when you guys played there last, and one of the biggest things I noticed was that your sound was a little different. I felt like it was kind of like you guys were going a different, like, direction with the sound. Still, like, the fun, gypsy, punk, country, grumble, boogie thing that you guys are pretty much famous for, but
mm-hmm.
I felt like maybe lyrically there was, like, a lot of meat to it, and the music just seemed to be changed, so I think that's really awesome. How did you guys get Derek in the band? How did you guys find him?
Well, Derek actually jumped on stage at Waka with us about probably 2 years ago, 3 years ago. You know, he's a Shreveport boy, and he was at Waka. I think Scotty or Daniel Wan had jammed with him before in other groups. And he was standing on the side of the stage and was like, hey, you know, let me come up. And he jumped up and played percussion. So that's kind of how we first met him. You know, whenever Lane decided to retire, you know, immediately we started putting the word out, you know, about people looking for drums. And if I recall the story correctly, Derek was working at a sandwich shop, and Matt went in to grab a sandwich, you know, and that's kind of how it all got started, you know, as far as getting Derek in the group. As far as the sound, I mean, you know, you're exactly right. I mean, I think that as the band has evolved, we've kind of lyrically evolved. The songs themselves, you know, are, I want to say that we're intentionally trying to, you know, do more or do, you know, but, you know, as we're growing as a group and as we're aging as a group, you know, it is kind of just, it's evolving. It's changing. And you know, you see a lot of bands that kind of go through that. And we still do the same filtering process. I mean, we start working on a song, and if people don't like it, we don't play it. When I say people, if the band members don't like it, if we don't play it, if we really dig it, it goes out there. And then from there, it continues to morph on the road. We have some songs that just continually have continually kind of changed over the years, and we have to actually go back and listen to the originals to learn how to, if we want to play them like we recorded them, you know.
Well, that's interesting. So, like, I guess you guys are always, you know, every show you probably learn something new. Do you guys, like, pick up new instruments ever, or do you guys have any, do any of the members of the band have any outside bands or things that they participate in that sort of help your band grow?
Absolutely. I mean, most of us are multi-instrumentalists in the band. You know, like on this new record, I put some piano down on a couple of tracks or on a track. We have, everybody plays in other groups for sure. I mean, our drummer plays with a side group. Scotty, the sax player, he plays with everybody. I mean, he's constantly got his horn looking for a gig kind of thing. And whenever we're not actually doing stuff. And then, yeah, all the members, our bass player, he's got his own group, recorded a record, that kind of thing. So yeah, we all stay busy with lots of projects. But at the same time too, I mean, we're always kind of, I think because of that, it allows us to have different influences and kind of keep our eyes open. And, you know, like when Matt got the electric guitar, you know, that was, you know, how's that going to change the sound? What's going to happen? Well, rather than worrying about it, we just kind of threw it in there and played with it and we really dig it. You know, if we didn't dig it, he'd still be playing the acoustic, you know, so we just, We kind of naturally evolve with it as it, you know, as it comes to us.
Cool. So are there any instruments what's your favorite instrument that you don't play?
I'd say probably I myself pick up the guitar more than anything else. I started playing guitar when I was a kid, cause I wanted to impress the ladies and all that and strum chords in church camp. Cause you know, you impress the ladies with a guitar at church camp. But,
church camp is a great place to impress ladies.
Yeah, especially with acoustic, you know, 13 acoustic guitar, you can't beat it. But I like to play the guitar a lot, and you never know. We've talked about, you know, we do have practices where we do pick up other instruments and or try to do something different with what we already have, and so you never know. You never know what you might see, what we might do on stage. Well, you know, we have a couple tunes where I know that Daniel and Derek want to switch up, and Daniel played drums and Derek played percussion. And so there's always things that, you know, you never know. We may end up being one of those shows where, you know, I jump on the bass and Nathan gets on the guitar. You know, you never know what'll happen. So.
That's awesome. I really appreciate the ability of musicians to switch instruments almost seamlessly. A lot of times you don't see that happening. You see people switching instruments or not at all. So I think that's
right. Really
cool. So you mentioned the John Lennon song project. Can you, like, explain that a little bit? I heard of it lightly, but not, like, exactly happened, what went down with it.
Well, the John Lennon Songwriting Contest is, it's sponsored by the John Lennon Group. And, you know, they do a bunch of different songwriting contests throughout the year. And they do some regional type contests, and they had one called the NOLA Jazz Competition. And so, they were looking for, it was basically two Louisiana or Louisiana-esque bands, you know, so we decided, hey, you know, we're a Louisiana band, we'll throw our name in the hat, see what happens. And, we put our song Bathroom Sink, from the first record into the mix. Cause it's got, to me, it's got the most kind of New Orleans-y kind of vibe to it, you know. And we got a call saying, you know, congratulations. And you guys, I mean, we didn't know what, you know, when we enter a lot of things and we get a lot of, you know, thank you, but, you know, you get a lot of that kind of stuff. But, you know, those kind of nice emails that are about three lines long. But we got a really nice email saying congratulations. And, you know, you have a John Lennon at the Phone Casino guitar coming your way and a Pro Tools tent rig with an inbox and you know, and you get to come down to New Orleans. We're going to be in New Orleans in next week. And if it all, if you can at all make it, we want to come record you on the John Lennon tour bus. And so we're like, okay. So it was like a Tuesday afternoon kind of thing. We just jumped in the van, drove to New Orleans, met up with them at a parking lot in the middle of nowhere, and jumped on the bus, and we recorded Bathroom Sink. They mixed it, videoed it. They put the video up on YouTube, and we, you know, it was a fun experience. I mean, it was really a great time, and their crew was really cool. And then, you know, of course, the John Lennon bus, they travel everywhere. They do a lot of stuff with schools, like, you know, music education kind of things. And they also have recorded tons of huge artists. So it was real, you know, it was an honor, you know, and definitely a privilege for us to be able to be a part of that. And we got, like I said, we got a cool video out of the deal. I mean, we definitely got some great gear. I mean, Matt's guitar is just, is awesome. I mean, it's definitely a nice, nice electric guitar. So it's really morphed the sound of the group. So it's been wonderful.
Yeah, that's cool. It's like a really nice chain of events that started off your new album, which we can go into now for the Kickstarter.
Sure.
That ended recently. You guys raised $20,290, I checked today.
That's correct.
Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
That's
yes,
awesome.
Ma'am.
So you guys, what are you going to do with that? Explain to the grateful web readers what you intend to do with your $20,290.
Well, there's been talk of running off to Mexico.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, that's we're not sure. The first thing is to pay the studio, because they graciously allowed us to go in and record without having any money. And basically saying, okay, we're going to do a Kickstarter and hopefully it'll be funded, and hopefully after it gets funded, we can pay you. You know, and that was the deal. it basically started with, February of last year, Brady Blade, who owns the studio, he's a drummer for Dave Matthews and Friends. He's Andy Lou Harris's drummer. He's played with everybody. He caught a show at Mardi Gras that we played, a Mardi Gras gig, and just was like, guys, you know, I love the new sound, you know, because he hadn't heard us in a couple of years, and he's like, love the new sound, got to get you guys in the studio. I got a window open between this date and this date, but, you know, in between recording Erykah Badu and a new project he's doing with Dave Matthews and Jacob Dylan and the Sexton Brothers. Brady's actually got a new band he's starting with them, so it's this, like, you know, super group kind of thing. So anyway, we're like, absolutely. He's like, well, Brady, we have no money. That's the whole deal. I mean, your studio is a $5 million studio. It's posh and swanky and all those terms you want to put on it. It's like, we don't have the funds for this. He's like, tell you what, let me be the producer. I'll work out a deal. You know, I'll give you guys a, you know, great deal on the studio. And so basically, you know, we got the studio for about a third of what we should have paid for it. And of course, again, he allowed us to set up a Kickstarter and hopefully keep fingers crossed that we would hit our goal. You know, also too, I mean, it was helpful. We reached out to Papa Molly. He's a local musician. You know, he's from Shreveport. He runs between here and New Orleans all the time because he works for the Tipitinas Foundation. And he was in town, and we said, hey, would you like to come in? And he showed up one day and put some really awesome guitar down on one of our tracks. And then, Brady had worked with the Rebirth Brass Band before, working with on a Kenny Wayne Shepherd record. And he reached out to them and said, hey guys, you know, band Dirtfoot, you know, which we actually opened up for Rebirth a few years ago. So they remembered us and said, hell yeah, we'll come on up. And we got them backing us up on four songs. So, again, it was one of those things that started out at one point and continued to grow, as we always do. We don't ever seem to, you know, we always go in, you know, planning to do one thing and spend one thing and do something different and spend a whole lot more. So, anyhow, we set up the Kickstarter, and so this is the kind of the minimum number we have to complete the project, you know, just to get Brady paid off or the studio paid off and to get the, you know, pressing and all that kind of thing done. And then we hit our goal with about 60 hours left and said, what the hell? If, you know, vinyl is not too cheap to press, but if we can get to 20 grand, we're going to go ahead and do a special limited run of vinyl. And it just shot up. Everybody started up in their pledges, and you know, we had a big last minute push. We did a little local kind of a secret gig, unannounced gig here locally, and you know, all kinds of things to help get to raise the funds. And when it was all said and done, we got over the mark, and we were stoked. I mean, we're very happy that we can, you know, fund the album, you know, pay the studio, you know, because our record would have been held hostage, unfortunately. But it's we're going to be able to get it and get it done and get it out there. And in turn, you know, this fall we're going to be, well, in the summer, fall, we're going to be doing a lot of touring to help support the record.
So when can we expect the record and the vinyl to be out?
Well, we, like I said, we're shooting, I think at this point we're planning on a early fall release. We will, we'll be announcing some, you know, the specifics very soon. But I mean, like I said, we just got out of the studio and listened to the final mixes, and we're now working on what we want to call this thing, you know, because we had a plan at first, sort of. And then as the songs kind of came together and we started listening to them, we're like, man, this has a whole different vibe than what we were thinking. And, you know, and so then we did the Kickstarter to allow that, you know, maybe some ideas from the people out there. And so now we're sitting here, you know, with a few different ideas that we want to call, just what we want to call it. I mean, it's a dirty, sexy record, and it's, you know, it's just one of these things that we're like, we got to find a good name for this. So, we'll be getting all that stuff out there very soon.
Okay, that's awesome. So what other festivals are you guys playing at this summer?
Well, we've got some, we got a bunch of tour dates that we're about to be posting up soon. There are a few festivals that are coming up in the fall that we are, can't announce yet.
I love secrets. You guys, how many years have you guys played at Wakarusa?
This will be our seventh year.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, we started.
Have you noticed?
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, have you noticed like a change in the festival, or you know, what do you like about it?
Well, I do think that you know the festival itself has had, you know, they, I think at first they had a little more of a grassy kind of vibe. I do think it has kind of broadened a little bit. I mean, they're trying to be a little bit more of a, you know, a little bit of everything kind of festival, which to me is cool. And I think part of that does, you know, come into Harvest Fest, which comes in the fall, you know, because there is that festival there now. Waka can kind of, you know, is kind of morphing itself to stand away from Harvest a little bit more. All that being said, Waka's one of our favorite festivals every year. I mean, we look forward to it. We look forward to the, you know, I mean, the staff is always great. You know, they're kind of like extended family to us now. You know, seeing all the, you know, hey, Nikki, hey, Kelly, you know, that kind of thing. And it's the grounds themselves. I mean, moving it from, I mean, Kansas was fun. You know, you had to walk 3 days to get anywhere. But, you know, being where it is now is just such a great setting. Everything's close. You know, you can walk 5 minutes and you're anywhere, you know, so it's and of course this year, I mean, man, the lineup is awesome. I mean, we're of course Dirt Foot. I mean, we're stoked to see Gogo Bordello. We cannot wait.
Oh my gosh.
For that
show.
We're going to be right up front screaming like a bunch of idiots, you know.
man, I can't imagine what that show is going to be like. It's going to be fucking awesome. I can't wait. That's awesome. So if somebody had never heard of you, how would you describe your band to them?
Well, we've always liked to call ourselves Gypsy Punk Country Grumble Boogie. Like I said, we may have to work on that name now, because we've heard a couple of heavy metal references. So we may have to throw heavy metal in there somewhere. I don't know. We are a band that basically, if you're not moving and shaking by the end of our set, we're not doing our job. I mean, the music's got, you know, it's got vibe, it's got feel, it's got a lot of call and response. You know, we depend on the crowd to take part and to be a part of the songs. You know, we always have always had, you know, the shaker cans that always show up for the gigs, you know, and they may make a new appearance here at Waka this year. We've We've always made those cans, and we've taken a break from it for a bit because we've made so many damn cans. But
who eats that many beans, for God's sake?
I mean, you know, it's what's really cool about it is that we have people that show up to gigs with their own cans, and that was kind of the hope. That was the hope that eventually you'd see them there anyway, you know. So, and we never wanted to sell them. We never wanted to make it like a merch item, you know. Oh, go buy a bean can. And we didn't want to do it that way. We wanted it to be, you know, here's a big grocery bag and start chunking them out to the people. So, but, you know, that's part of our thing. I mean, we've always had this, you know, the crowd is the seventh member. I mean, it's always been important. And when the crowd is up, we're up. When the crowd is giving the energy to us, it just makes us that much higher, that much, you know, you feel like you're floating, you know, and it makes it just so easy to play. You know, it's the show begins and the show ends, and you just hope that you didn't screw up in the middle somewhere. You know, it's a real, I don't know, the crowd can make it almost like a religious experience. You know, just that.
Yeah, totally.
That high that only comes from just the feeling like you're something bigger than yourself, you know?
Yeah. It's like the ability of music is to connect people and to give them religious experiences where they, like, may not find them. That's, like, really awesome. And it's so cool that you guys are able to recognize that. I think that maybe a lot of, at least audience members, don't always understand how much you can really get out of a live show.
Right. You know, we have we've always had that kind of primal quality. You know, we've had people in the past, like there was a fellow that used to come to our shows and he was a whirling dervish, you know. We had a song and he would literally just start to spin and just spin and spin and spin and spin as the song went on. And it's one of our more gypsy songs called Break My Bones. And, you know, and he would do it because it would bring on this euphoria and that kind of, you know, that like so that holy thing that only that happens through the music and through the movement. And so that's kind of what it is for all of us. I mean, you know, the way we move on stage, the way the crowd interacts with us, the way that the crowd calls back to us, you know, in our songs. And I mean, it all just helps to build, like I said, that thing that just, like I said, just when you become bigger, or when you're part of something just bigger than yourself, you know, when you get that feeling that this is a lot, it's not just you, you're lost, you're a tiny piece of a big thing, you know, and that's when you get that feeling.
Yeah, it's like you're a catalyst for experience and, like, knowing, and that's really awesome. So, do you want to say anything to Grateful Web Readers?
I'll just we want to thank everybody that first off that helped us with the Kickstarter campaign. It's, you know, such an outpouring of love. So for anybody that donated or shared or tweeted or blogged or whatever, we're very grateful. And we hope to see everybody at WACA. If you see us, come up and, you know, high five, shake our hand, you know, whatever. We want to meet all the folks that helped us get where we are, and we appreciate everybody's love, and we cannot wait for you guys to hear the new music.
Yeah, awesome. Me neither. I'm super excited about your new album. So, thank you for all the work that you guys do and all of the beauty that you help bring into our lives. It's pretty awesome.
Thank you. Thank you for that and the kind words, and thank you. I mean, you guys, you know, y'all are such a big part of it, helping get the word out, and we do appreciate y'all, you know, showing all the love to Durfit that you've shown too.
Awesome. Well, I hope to see you personally. I will see your show, of course. Hope to see you personally at Walker's.
Definitely. And we thank you again for. I mean, I know you've written about us a couple times, you personally, so thank you for, again, taking care of us.
No problem. All right. Well, I hope you have literally one of the best days of your life today.
Thank you, ma'am. You too.
All right. Have a great day.
All right. Bye. Bye-bye.